Good morning, everybody. I'll call the order of the scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, May 29th, 2018, and ask if everybody please join the board in the honor of America with the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again, and good morning. First item, as always, is public comment. Number one, this is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda, or if you want to comment on something not on today's agenda, that would be fine, too. Come right up to the microphone, anybody wishing to speak to the board about anything. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to a bid opening for our crisis stabilization transitional living center remodel that we're trying to get done in partnership with Mary Greeley and the region and others. Hi, Jeff. Thank you, sir.
I've got additional copies in the bid tab if anybody wants a copy of that.
All right, so background is, as we try to continue to enhance the mental health services that are provided here in Story County and stay a leader in the state, one of the things that we identified that a gap in services, if you will, is we didn't have a great spot or don't have a great spot for those that need to get away from their current situation, need to get away from home, but it doesn't quite warrant a secure facility, right? Sixth floor Mary Greeley Medical Center or sheriff coming to spend some time with you in the county jail and trying to find a way to have a gap in those services or fill the gap in those services. And so to that end, about 2 years ago, Deb and I went and met with our friends at Mary Greeley Medical Center to talk about ways that we could partner to do some things. Our regional mental health system got involved in the process, and we're finally to the point where we can start talking about renovating a county-owned facility to serve that purpose for a program that would be run by Mary Greeley Medical Center and funded by our region. So really good collaborative partnership. Jeff, you've been working on this just to get us where we need to go, and now we hope we're actually able to get going.
Right, yeah, now we hope we're in the right place. So we've got five bids, so I will open those. I think they're alphabetical here, we'll check. But the first is Bergstrom Construction.
Where are they from, Jeff?
Bergstrom is from Des Moines. So we do have a bid bond form completed for 5% of the bid amount. Okay, again, Bergstrom Construction. First of all, they acknowledge addendum number one and addendum number two. We have a base bid amount, $299,000 even. And we have an alternate. The alternate is to add the generator to the building. So we have the alternate of $69,000. We had asked for a second manufacturer there. They don't list a second one at this time, but I think that's the base bid for the add alternate. So that is an add to that of $69,000. The second is from HBC Construction from Ames. Again, they have a bid bond, 5% of the bid total. They acknowledge addendum number one and addendum number two. Base bid amount, $228,000, even, $228,000. They have an alternate price for the generator, $57,000 as an add. And then that second deduct amount for an alternate vendor is $13,000 less. So it's a $13,000 deduct from the $57,000. And they also include their bidder status form being from the state of Iowa. The next is from Two Rivers Group out of Altoona. Again, we have bid bond for 5% of the bid amount. Let's see, they acknowledge addendum number one, addendum number two. Base bid amount, $213,500. $213,500. We have the add alternate for the generator, $57,850. And the reduced price for the alternate manufacturer is a total of $43,475. So they did not list that as a deduct, but just listed the alternate price there. So their add would be $43,475 for a Kohler generator. Okay, the next is Henkel Construction. Henkel out of Ames. We have bid bond for 5% of the bid amount. We have acknowledgement of addendum 1 and 2. A base bid amount, $257,350. $257,350. We have an alternate add of $74,000. They also did not list the alternate generator manufacturer. So $74,000 is the add. The last is from GTG Construction out of Johnston.
Is that JTG in the building?
GTG.
Thank you.
Everybody's phone's going off at the same time. So again, bid bond from GTG, 5% of the bid total. Okay, acknowledge addendum 1 and 2. We have a base bid amount, $255,000, even, $255,000. The alternate for the Caterpillar generator is a $55,000 add. The deduct for the Kohler generator would be $14,350. So that's everything we have.
So we have a parent low bidder. You guys can go back and crunch the numbers, make sure everything looks right, come back to us in a week with a recommendation.
That's what we assume would be the plan, yes.
Super. Thank
All
you,
right.
guys.
Great. Yep, thank you.
Next, discussion consideration of Salvation Army's request to reallocate FY18 funds of $672.53 from disaster services to the bill payer program.
Hi.
Back again?
I know, 2 weeks in a row. I thought you missed me. So, well, you stated the information. Just for anyone who doesn't know what the bill payer program is, it's a program that the Salvation offers to have volunteers go into seniors' homes to assure that bills get paid, things are filed, any issues that arise with finances are there's an assistance with that volunteer in making sure things are looking good. We also have a secondary volunteer who actually audits the work of the people volunteering directly with the clients that we serve. Right now we're working with 5 individuals. Back in March, we billed for the last allotment of the money that we had available to us. We've been up to 6 and down to 4 this year, and with people of varying needs. And so it seemed that our allocation went a little quicker. On the opposite end, we've been fortunate enough to not have a disaster, and so we haven't utilized those funds. And so our request really is just to shift what has already been allocated to us, but in a different pot to the Bill Pair program.
Thank you. Deb, assets perspective on this.
Yeah, and just a couple things. This service has been in the community for quite some time. I mean, I'd say probably maybe eight years. It was previously provided through Heartland Senior Services when they had a grant through ARP. And when that grant ceased to exist, they had decided to no longer provide the service. And Carrie and Salvation Army stepped up and said, hey, this really kind of aligns with other services that we're providing. You've got the representative payee service. This is just a step, I think, before someone would need that more intense service. And so Salvation Army took it on, has been providing it ever since, and I think doing a wonderful job. This request has come in. Asset has not had a chance to look at it or discuss it, and the next asset meeting isn't until August. And with these being fiscal year 18 funds, we would like to have that reallocation considered before the end of June. So that's what brings it to you today. Looking at how Carrie's been drawing the funds down, there's no doubt in my mind that they'll be utilized by the end of the fiscal year.
And is this 100% of what we have in the disaster, or do we have more than that?
That's what's left.
That's what's left in the disaster.
Yeah,
so
disaster.
My only concern there is, heaven forbid, something happened in the month of June. But then we leave ourselves a little exposed, unless you think there's a way that you could accommodate that if something unforeseen.
We can. We still have allocated funds with the City of Ames. Granted, that's for things that happen in the City of Ames. But I have no doubt that the Salvation Army as a whole can come in and fill in and take care of those needs if they arise.
Yeah, and that would be my only concern, is I don't want to see us have something unforeseen happen and then somebody come to us and say, well, there's no money left in disaster services.
I recognize that's a risk, but I'm comfortable in taking that risk. I've had conversations with my supervisor, and we feel comfortable that we know that could happen.
Okay. Questions?
Or I think you had the one question I would ask, because you really knew this one way from an annual fiscal. We're not talking a lot of dollars. But still, at this time of year in the state, you do run that risk of disaster, and I'm glad you had that kind of conversation.
Right.
Other than what Rick asked you, that was the only concern looking at your proposal. I appreciate what you're doing with these citizens here. I did not realize this fell into your world in that sense, but it's just a read. It's just like, thank you. Because you don't know who's going to come to you on need, and it's grown and it's shrunk.
Right.
But I have no problem with this ask.
And there are also United Way dollars for disaster services.
Right.
Yep.
Again, just echoing what the two of you thought and said, and I have full faith in the Salvation Army to go ahead and respond if there were a disaster.
Make that in the form of a
motion. I will make a motion that we transfer the remaining balance of funds in the Emergency Disasters Fund, $672.53, into our Bill Payer Program Fund.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye.
Thank
Dunn.
You.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Next is consideration of restrictions on temporary structures and vendors along Story County Roadway right-of-way during Rag Ride. So how we got to this conversation is actually start with an email from the sheriff, just expressing some concerns of what could happen along our county roadways with Rag Dry. That led to a conversation with the county engineer so the first thing to point out is we don't have that much of Story County that's not in a municipality with the annexation of Ames all the way over to 590th Street. So Rag Dry Riders will enter Story County and then come north on South Dakota, which is kind of a heavily traveled stretch that gives our county engineers some pause just from a safety perspective. Then once they enter Ames, they don't leave a municipality again until they get outside Nevada, between Nevada and Cola. And so after talking to the county engineer, I also talked to our planning and development director, who handles the administration of special projects, and then I talked to the staff member in our auditor's office who handles liquor licensure, and there was consensus among those that would be providing the work and providing for our public safety that based on the route and the fact that most of Rag Dry is going to occur in municipalities, it'd be worth our time to consider just not allowing anything to happen in our road right away outside of municipalities, and that's how this got to us. And that's the extent of the conversation. Sheriff, do you have anything to add to that?
This is not the first time Rag Dry's come through Story County, and with the amount of riders that come through and the activities that each community puts on, I think the recommendation that I forwarded to you and that you're settling on now today is the right recommendation. They'll have plenty of things to do in the communities they go through, and I think the best we can do is help escort them in a safe, efficient manner from community to community until they get to the Marshall County line, and Marshall County will take it over from there.
Oh, I have not seen that recommendation.
So he's talking about an email exchange that he and I and Darren Moon had. And I think I laid out there were three possible options that I saw that Story County could take. And the sheriff responded that the option that he favored most of those three would be us looking at restricting anything in our road right away. So it's not so. You're seeing it now. But it's for us to talk about.
Having been through the city council meetings of Colo and Beta and talking about the timelines, the broad overlook is the overnight will occur in Ames. And so as they approach from the south, they're looking to get to where they're going to spend the evening and their activities. They're in Ames. It's going to probably do a very good job like they did 10 years ago. And then listening to how Rag Dry is going to try to not necessarily shoo their riders out of Ames through Nevada, through Colo to Marshall County, other than what's going to be offered in the communities. And there you are, dusting off their plans from 10 years ago on what they did well and what they didn't do well. I think they'll both respectfully augment those two things. I don't think there's necessarily anything you're going to see a lot of riders stopping for that's not in the community proper itself.
Well, and the other thing to remember is we, the three of us, took action to contribute to each of those three communities to assist them with putting on the best experience possible. And it seems a little silly to me that we would contribute to the best experience possible in our municipalities and then set up a system where we were actually competing with them right outside the city limits. So I'm hoping we get to restricting any temporary structures or vendors within the county right away outside of municipalities and leave it with our municipalities to host Rag Dry and Cal the Sheriff and our secondary roads crew to make sure that it's a safe, enjoyable experience as they ride through the rest of the county.
And I'd like to come back to kind of the timeline from my standpoint. When Sheriff Fitzgerald, when you sent us a request, and I want to say it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a little longer, asking that you be able to weigh in on any applications that come in the unincorporated areas. And I think you were thinking of alcohol at that time primarily, but saying, hey, I just want to make sure that they're set up at a safe location, there's not access, egress problems that could lead to accidents or whatever. That, I remember that part of it, okay? And I do know that last year we passed a special event permit for what, $250, Jerry? I'm looking out at our planning.
It's actually
$50. Well, I was trying to get too much money from everybody. Okay, $50. Okay, so that we could have that weigh-in and buy-in from the sheriff, have that weigh-in from the county engineer, also environmental health, to make sure there were adequate facilities or porta-potties available. So that's where I come into this conversation, and then looking at this, not knowing that there had been an exchange that only included one supervisor, unless... Mr. Chitty?
I've been a consumer of the information in the sense that I know there's a working group having a meeting, the 6th?
June 6th. Keith Morgan, Emergency Management, will be coordinating that with law enforcement here in Story County and the state to keep working on this issue. This will be an ongoing project.
Yeah, and Lori, the email exchange that you're referring to where the sheriff talks about laid out three options that I saw you today. And Jerry, you helped me with this. I think on that email, came from me, went to the sheriff, you, Deb Shildroth, Karen Moon, missing anybody?
That's all there.
Well, I do want to point out, I'm keeping your fellow supervisors informed. I know we have the opportunity with the open meetings law, and so we want to be careful there, but to...
Well, that's exactly the way to handle it, so that we don't violate open meetings. Because the board supervisor needs to deal with it here and now. And that's exactly
what if I could follow up here, this is why I ask that we get like memos similar to the conservation urge memo, so that as we have our few days or to think about what we're going to do our research over the weekend, that we're researching and making our thoughts and considerations on the same wavelength. So that's... And I'm going to move on now. We have an issue to address here that we can discuss the urge memos later on. Okay. So now, given this, I certainly had some concerns about R38 coming in after a day of riding, having probably some of them consumed alcohol, many of them tired, families, etc. So I can certainly understand the concern about not wanting to set up anybody along R38. Obviously, then we don't deal with them again until they leave Nevada headed for Colo. And I understand there are time restrictions this year that Colo has asked them to be gone by, is it 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock? Nevada's asked for them to be gone also?
Right, officials came to the respective communities and called the time. And I'd like to see the offerings ending with my understanding.
Okay.
The city council meetings is right, is quite with all the years they've done it, is rather organized to see what works, what doesn't work. And I think the overnight from Ames is Newton. I'm not sure where, somehow that sticks in my head, is where they go to after that. And on a lingering basis, they're not going to keep everybody in total together,
right.
But they would like to see communities close down the attractions so that they can keep moving.
And
so it's a limited window that each community is going to be
holding. And state, am I correct in that State Center is the meetup with their support vehicles?
I
only paid attention to those, to kind of the information that directly affected Story County.
My handoff will occur at the Story Marshall line.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about access that people have to services. I believe there was a recent Register article that quoted RAGBRAI in talking about two counties that had also looked at least eliminating any vendors in the unincorporated areas. And the concern was that the riders themselves then would have no access to hydration or food in that unincorporated stretch. And so right here, we'd be talking about the stretch between Nevada and Colo, and then Colo and the county line, as far as being able to provide hydration, at least, for the riders, which would be a concern. And how would we handle that if RAGBRAI officials came out and said in the Point Register article that they would see that there were hydration stations along the way. So how have you planned to handle those things?
Well, I'm not familiar with what the RAGBRAI committee is doing with as far as the hydration stations and how they're doing that. I've just not had that conversation with them yet. My experience is I personally have biked both the State Center and back, because I live in Colo, and then the Nevada and back. I mean, it's not that big. If you're on RAGBRAI, I think that it's not that much of a struggle to get there. My concern, Loris, is, you know, the alcohol certainly plays a concern in there. But if we're going to start having a commingling of all these bikers at different spots in the unincorporated areas, and we don't even know if I don't know yet if Lincoln Way is going to be closed during that time. And if that's the case, with traffic still on there, and even if it's closed, the agricultural equipment still has to get from field to field, so they're going to be moving on there. As sheriff, I would just as soon not have a gathering in any area for any reason between those communities. If it was a longer stretch, then I can understand maybe we could look at, you know, a recommendation where we'd set something up. But that's why I responded back to the board chair that option three I was more supportive of, because we're moving them along. I'll have deputies there and trying to assist people if somebody needs something. Law enforcement and medical will be readily available to assist as best we can.
It isn't very long. I think Sheriff tells a very good point, rather than any times myself. When they hands off to Colo, it's not that far. When Colo hands off to State Center, it's really not that far. The hydration issue is always an issue. I mean, it was yesterday, today, it'll be days going forward. It's Iowa in summer, but I think in the early part of the day, which this is, as they leave Ames Transit and Bay, I'm going to be here midday. And then I get the concern, it's well founded, but I don't think that if you're later in the day, it's not like the communities aren't closely aligned.
As someone, you know, because I do it differently than I think both of you gentlemen do, being, even when I was able to ride the distance of between those spots in my younger, healthier days, okay, I consumed mass quantities of water. I probably added another 10 pounds of water on water bottles to my bike, okay? So I just want to point out that what we say someone can do versus what someone else can do who might be attempting RAGBRAI, I'd like to see that whatever the decision is, that we certainly work with RAGBRAI itself if they feel a hydration station is needed between the two points. That, okay? So now that comes back to our the competition issue that I really bring up. We did give money to our communities to help them promote a good experience and to do some marketing while they were in there. And I just want to make sure that, and also to be full disclosure, our animal shelter is thinking about setting up a fundraiser.
Yeah, I hear that's not accurate anymore as well. I don't know.
And when would that have changed them?
That would have changed as recent as last week. Sue started looking at all of the hoops that would have to be jumped through. I mean, a temporary food permit through Department of Inspections and Appeals, possibly a special events permit, and then the concern as to how to even get to the animal shelter if Lincoln Way indeed is closed.
So you're telling me that there was time to notify each supervisor about that, who might have been aware that previously that
was... This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Okay, just want to make sure that
this is where we get the information.
Well,
this is where we, and I say we as the pronoun implies.
Okay, so that's no longer on the table?
Correct. Right. Yeah, and there's some other fundraisers that she's looking at doing later in the summer.
All right, thank you. Okay, so that takes away my concern about looking either hypocritical or trying to set the stage for some kind of favoritism for a competition. All right, so we come back to a safety issue, which is where, interestingly, I started this when the sheriff originally reached out. And I defer to the sheriff and the county engineer on safety issues. I'm not the expert on that. So given the fact that our sheriff, I'm sounding like our county engineer, Also emergency management?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got our safety individuals telling us that given the time of day that the riders will be coming in that obtains and leaving the next morning, and the stretch that actually we would control, that this just doesn't seem like the best option for Story County, and we're not restricting. We feel inordinately the spirit of Ragbrai or the function.
So, first of all, we haven't had a motion, so I don't know what we would be restricting.
Okay.
Right? We've had a conversation about what we might do. But what we've talked about to this point simply deals with Story County right-of-way, right? It doesn't eliminate the possibility of somebody doing something outside the right-of-way on their property. They would have to go through the regular channels to do that. What I'm hearing and what I thought we were talking about is limiting choke points, gathering spots along Story County's roadways. Sheriff, am I seeing that right?
Yeah, I mean, the right-of-way that I see I have legal access to controlling
right.
is what I'm concerned about. Now, again, not having met or had my staff meet with the Ragbrai committee to bring recommendations back to me, what I look at is if we get closer to the Ragbrai date and it's projected to be a 100-degree day like we've had over this past weekend, they want to have water stations. That's something that would be worked out between the board and Ragbrai committee, and I'd certainly be available to meet with you and discuss that. But off right away, if somebody, as a landowner, has a lane going up into his field and he wants to do things, I don't know what the county requires there for permits, but that's off the roadway and it would keep people off the roadway. So,
and Jerry, that would be the special event permit that we talked about. So, for example, on R38, I know there's a gentleman who runs a bike shop out of his barn. Right? I would fully, I mean, if I ran a bike shop out of my barn and Ragbrai was coming by, I would want to do something. And I would fully expect that would be something that would just flow through you, part of the existing special permit that we have. And all we're saying is you're not going to move those services to the roadway, to the right-of-way, where things will get bogged down out on the street. Jerry, are you seeing it like that or not?
I probably need to clarify that the special events ordinance that was adopted does address activities within the right-of-way as well as private property.
Right.
And it affects situations where we have over 250 participants, volunteers, spectators, and really the primary purpose of it is to coordinate with the, you know, first responders, sheriff's office, ambulance services, so you have a coordinated event so that everybody's on the same page and knowing the route and what's to take place.
Right. Well, what I understand we're talking about right now, and you correct me if you thought we were talking about something other than this, is dealing with the portion of that that is in our road right-of-way, right, which is 60 feet from the center line, both sides, trying to figure. We're talking about the possibility of restricting anything from occurring in there during Ragbrai.
Right, right. But, and again, this ordinance does affect activities within the right-of-way as well as private property.
If this person who has a bike shop wanted to do something additional on their property, they still need to get the special permit.
Right. They have to submit the special use permit. It ultimately is acted on by the Board of Supervisors. Our department would be the shepherd, and we would communicate with all the outside entities for the review and comments on it.
What would happen for, and I understand this gentleman is a wonderful gentleman, so we're not picking on him. It's just, it's a nice visible, as you got to drive down R38 to see his bike shop there. So what would happen if he has an event, and he's, you know, set back 100 feet, so he's given us our right-of-way plus some room, and people then begin to en masse, and they are now in our right-of-way. They're up to the road. How do we handle that, enforce that? Would we shut it down? Who would shut it down? Would it be the sheriff's department?
Well, Ragbrai is once, usually every 10-year event, and things like this. My philosophy as a sheriff would be that, hey, my staff is going to go along, make this as enjoyable for the riders as we can, but we're going to be primarily concerned about safety. Now, if we come to a situation like this where it's just really a safety issue and R38 has not been closed, then we're going to be stepping in and trying, first of all, to move the riders on. We're not going to try to interfere with this individual. But if that doesn't work, then we'd have to go to perhaps more extreme options, saying, hey, it's time to shut this down, so because of safety concerns, and then they could deal with the county attorney later on.
Right, but that's the whole reason to get them out of the right-of-way, as I see it. If they're stationed in the right-of-way, then, of course, we're going to have that gathering spot. If they're stationed off the right-of-way and there's still a gathering out in the right-of-way, then it becomes a public safety issue if you just encouraging people, it's either time to move on or it's time to get out of the right-of-way, not blind traffic. That has very little to do with a stand or something that might be 100 feet off our right-of-way. I'm just concerned about the potential bottlenecking, and I think of emergency vehicles. I mean, if we have some kind of bottlenecking somewhere along one of our routes, and then we have an issue where we've got to get first responders in there, and we've created this artificial bottleneck, I just get concerned that that could be really, really bad in a lot of ways.
I assume you'll probably have additional road units out that day.
We're still in the planning stages there. We'll meet with Keith Morgan and that and see what we do, and we'll see what budget impact it has as well.
Other questions or comments?
None.
What you guys... So you've got to hear the whole conversation now. What do you guys think we ought to do? The options, as I recall, were we could do absolutely nothing and just deal with it, and it's come one, come all. We could try to restrict everything from happening out in the county, or we could worry about our road right away. If somebody has an option other than those three, I'd be glad to hear that, too.
My concern or hesitation here is that it's not clear still what all the plans are. And so I'd like to see us pick an option that allows for the fact that the final decisions haven't been made about road closure, et cetera, yet. So of the three options laid out, okay, the right-of-way seems to be the most reasonable one because we're only talking about our particular property, if you would, or a property we have responsibility for. And there's some flexibility, adaptability, it sounds like, in that plan, okay?
Are you off?
Well, you're going to have a meeting next week on the 6th of these stakeholders, and I'm sure... Right, we just heard a lot of what I think will probably be discussed. I get the fact that having had friends that have been on Rag Ride and having accidents that do happen, actually, you know, people expire on Rag Ride. I don't think that we should be in a position where we're causing anything that would impede 911 traffic. And I guess that, while I know we have the easement there, that's not a place I come down on the fact we have a legal right to require. And I would say, why don't we just stand on that? And I would be open to, if there's anything you think would come out of this studies group, I would be willing to probably take that up because you have all responsive entities are weighing in at one time, and sometimes a conversation will prompt a different outcome with your knowledge. So we're a week away from that. It's on the 6th, that's next week. This happens on the 24th and the 25th of July.
Right.
But we're starting to get some applications, specifically temporary liquor license applications, and even more than that, we're starting to get inquiries about people who have interest in setting something up. And so I just felt like it was in our best interest to go ahead and try to deal with this sooner rather than later, rather than leaving uncertainty out.
I
would need the chair's desire to see something done at this meeting.
Offer some clarity of what direction Story County seems to be headed.
Okay.
Knowing that as a board, we have the ability to amend any decision.
And I feel 1 week is a short time frame, and from the staff standpoint, because I understand they've got to be the ones that deal with the inquiries and the requests to say the board is waiting until the June 5th meeting of various safety entities and RAGRIDE to make a decision whether we are going to restrict activities in our right of way.
Okay. Right, and then it becomes a June 12th conversation for us, and you're just over.
I'm not lost in that because we don't meet but once a week. So I'd like to think that we put a marker down here and give ourselves the ability to amend that marker reflective of the meeting that will be held. And if nothing comes that would cause us to do anything different, we've already given the criteria that we expect to be done on our portion of the county.
So then what I would ask is, Marty, I hear what you're saying. How about if we take some kind of action, set a marker in the ground, but make it pending 14-day review? We accept any comments we get between now and the 12th, but we've already put the marker in the ground where we think we're headed and realistically are headed, unless something big changes.
I'm comfortable. I like that.
Because this is my attitude to change, but yet again allows the planning ability for people that want to be part of the RAGBRAI experience in Story County in the month of July.
Okay.
So one of you guys willing to make a motion to restrict temporary structures and vendors along Story County's right of way during RAGBRAI pending 14-day review?
I would move as stated.
I would second.
Got a motion and a second. Further discussion. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah, the sheriff's office will work with whatever decision the board of supervisors makes.
As always.
So just when you have the meeting is concluded, I'd like to see what your recommendations are. If this fits, then we will go with that. If you got anything else, I'd like to hear it.
Good.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. So we've got Chief Olson.
Hi.
Sanders. Aye. We're restricting temporary structures and vendors in Story County's right-of-way, but that's pending 14-day review, so we'll deal with it again on June 12th. Agency reports, we get to hear from Herta today. Julian Brooke, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to give you some stats that we have. We're down in ridership in Story County. We've done, since July 1st through April 30th, we've done 35,313. That's about 12% down from what we did at that same period last year. We're also down about 40,000 miles and about 3,000 driver hours. And that is mainly due to some changes that Medicaid made in how they fund public transportation. And so that is taking quite the hit for us on ridership and income coming in. So next week you'll be seeing us again. We've been working with Deb, and we're going to come back and ask for some reallocation of some asset funding. Just because the fewer rides you do, the higher the cost is for per ride. And so we're going to do some of that, but we'll talk about that next week. So some of the new services that we started, so we do a Herta Now program now, and that is a same-day service, so they don't have to call 24 hours in advance. The cost of that is $5. We do that in Story County and some other counties. And so that is it's been slow to take off, but one of the things that we're also doing that we hope to have rolled out in July is having an app, a computer app and a smartphone app where people can schedule their trips that way. So hopefully that will help pick up that service a little bit. We do weekly trips to Iowa City, and we resumed our Ames to Des Moines trips. We're not getting very many people going, so we're going to have to take a look at that just because of the cost factor of it. We've increased our shuttles from Boone to Ames and Ames to Boone, so we've got a pretty continuous shuttle going back and forth there in the same way in Nevada, from Ames to Nevada, and then we also have Nevada to Nevada trips. So those things are starting to pick up, and they're working really well for us.
Good.
We've actually even added a second bus in from Ames to Nevada, so there's a lot of traffic going back and forth that way now.
You see yourself, I guess, being the Nevada guy, I've had to point out to me that you see the Herta buses here in town much more than you did before, so what you're telling me is absolutely success.
Yes. Great. No, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. For new vehicles, we have a bus that's going to be delivered in for service in Ames approximately in August, and then we just got our new contract with to be funded with CMAQ money, and we'll have another bus that'll be coming. So that's all really good information for us, because the more new vehicles we can put into service, the more old vehicles we can get out of service, and that cuts down on our maintenance costs. So we'll be doing that. Our hold times when people call, last time that we reported in fiscal year 17, that it was about 2.56 minutes on hold, and now we're down to 1.75, so that's really good. And we have about an average of 1,100 calls a week of people calling us. So we do a lot. We take a lot of calls. And I'm going to turn it over to Brooke to talk a little bit about the rest of the stuff. Oh, not supposed to move that. Excuse me.
It's late.
Had that covered up with luck.
One of the things that we did, to back up just a little bit, one of the things that we did is for the Nevada to Nevada trips, we had just counted those previously as our like in-county rate, so that was $4, and we've lowered that to $2 as an in-town rate to encourage folks to come and shop and do their activities and services here in town. We think that's helping. We always want to remind everybody that we have a lot of different reasons why people ride the bus, and so they go to adult day centers, business services, childcare, education, employment, grocery shopping, leisurely activities, the senior meal sites, medical and hospital releases, program services, and, of course, worship. And we are looking at doing a van pool program, so we are going to be sending out an RFP in June, so we'll have some more information on that, maybe not next week, but the next time after that we see you. And then some of the additional challenges that we face is always expansion vehicles, our driving staff, and then funding of expanding the services, of course. So we've had a good year as far as driving staff is going, so we're pleased with that, and we're looking forward to the new project. We're piloting it now with 10 different individuals, and they have, some of them have disabilities, some of them are just general public riders. We've kind of got a smorgasbord of different people who are using the service, and we've had some really great feedback. The other part that goes in with the scheduling app is an online payment option. So that's really great for people who are caregivers or parents, so that folks can use credit cards to prepay for their services and help with budgeting. We are actually the first system with our scheduling software vendor to ever roll both of those out at the same time. They thought that was interesting, but we thought it made sense rather than trying to re-educate and retrain the user, that they could do that all at one time. And we're the third transit system that has even done the online payment option. So I'm pretty proud that we came a long way in a few short years with technology and helping to offer the services, more accessible to everyone.
And I also want to, if there are other needs that need to be met for transportation in the city of Ames or in Story County at all, please let us know, because with the changes that Medicaid has made, we have no idea what that's going to look like. So it's negatively affecting transportation. It's negatively affecting quite a few people in getting to the services that they need, or they have to find other ways to do that. So we're going to have to probably look at what our model looks like on how we provide transportation, which is one of the reasons that we're looking at a van pool for more commuter-type trips. It'll be more like a turnkey program, so there won't be a lot of staff that we'll need to have involved in it and things like that. But if there are other types of services, please reach out to us and let us know, because we will have the ability to probably do more of those now that we're doing less of the people that actually need a lot of the transportation. Okay?
Questions? Thank you, guys. No, I appreciate your aggressive flexibility. I mean, you respond to that where the need exists and you move in that direction. Congratulations on you. I have just kind of watched you talking to Flores from time to time about the trepidation, and that was a leap of faith to take on Boone County. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that has been a success.
It has been a success. and the ridership is growing there. We're doing some additional services. We actually, they want us to do some longer services into the evenings and some weekend services because they see that Story County gets some of those weekend services and later night services, so now they're wanting that too. So all of that is stuff that we look into. And we're working with their chamber as well to do some of their events, like the Farm Progress Show. We'll be in doing trips to and from that. And
We're working with them on the new conference center as well that's being built right there on Highway 30 by the raceway. And so coordinating some services between the event center and then, of course, getting into Ames, non-traditional service hours that we have in Boone. So expanding some options there as well.
So then we'll be able to take people to and from both of the communities, so both communities will be able to have an economic benefit from that. So we're super excited about any of that.
Well, you guys should be commended for how far you brought this thing just in a few years. You know, as we had Heartland get out of the business of providing it here in Story County, and you think about where we were kind of coming out of that and where you brought it to, it's you guys should be really, really proud, and it's exciting to see us keep improving, keep trying new things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't.
Yep.
Great job.
Thank you.
So, anything else? Look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you next week. All right. Thank you.
See you
Thursday.
Thursday.
No minutes. Personnel actions.
Move consideration of the personnel minutes as presented.
Second.
Kitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims. A big claims week, but primarily from the mental health.
Yes.
Well, it's $1.7 million to the region.
Yep.
I move we accept the claims as presented.
Second.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief. Aye. Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda board.
As presented.
And we'll second that.
Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sanders. Aye. That's all right. That takes us to public hearing items. This one just still tickles me. Second consideration of Ordinance 271, an ordinance adopting the Code of Ordinances of Story County. Ethan, I love that we're passing an ordinance to adopt ordinances.
That's right. That's the way things done.
This, is again, is that recodification of the ordinances that we have to do every 5 years per Iowa Code 331-302. So this is the second chance, and I think a majority of the board today could waive the third reading, if you so choose. That's where we're at.
Questions for Ethan?
None.
All right. What are you guys willing to make a motion and hopefully waive third reading?
I would move second consideration ordinance at 271, the ordinance adopting the Code of Ordinances of Story County, and waive third reading.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Wait. Forget that motion. Got to back up.
Hearing.
We haven't opened the public hearing.
No.
So right now, we're going to open the public hearing and see if anybody would like to address 271, an ordinance adopting the ordinances. Anybody? Okay, now I'm going to close the public hearing. Now, Marty, you said something earlier, and I didn't quite hear what it was.
I move second consideration of Ordinance 271, ordinance adopting the Code of Ordinances of Story County, and waive the third reading.
I second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Ordinance 271 is, in fact, adopted. Ethan, thanks for your work on this. It's great to have gotten to this point.
Thank you.